Open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 17 and find verse 3. We serve a forever holy God, and our Savior, we get to worship Him now and forever. What a blessing. The last several, couple of Wednesday nights, we've been learning about growing in knowledge. We kind of launched from this at the end of our study of the Apostle Peter. As a man who went from a fisherman to a fisher of men in his journey as a disciple. But 2 Peter ends with this challenge, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we've been kind of learning about how to do that, growing in grace and knowledge, what that means and how to do so. And we've looked at a lot of principles about growing in knowledge, and I'm hoping to kind of wrap that up tonight with the practicalities, the how-tos. And if you pay attention when you study your Bible, that's a pattern that you see a lot, because God doesn't just give us a list of to-dos. He always builds a foundation of the why before He gives us the hows. And it's important for us to understand the truths, the principles that lead to the practicalities. And it's because God doesn't just want us to do things outwardly. He wants us to do things because it comes from a heart of love and gratitude to Him. Does that make sense, everybody? Okay, everybody good? All right, let's stand together if you're able. We're going to read John 17, verse 3 to get started tonight. And just as a quick reminder, whose word is this? So this isn't Isaac's word. This isn't Calvary Missionary Baptist word. It's not our word, it's God's word. And so let's remember that, be mindful of that as we open the word tonight, that we'll ask God to speak to us. And I'm going to ask Brother Ryan, if you would lead us in a word of prayer. Amen. John 17, 3, the Lord Jesus says, "And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Amen. Please be seated. That's from Jesus's, some people call it his high priestly prayer, but this is the prayer of Jesus to the Father. And if you make a careful study, just as a side note of the Gospel of John, you and I aren't really even in the picture until almost to the end of this prayer. When he prays for his disciples in that day and for those who will believe because of their testimony, that's really the first time we come into the picture. That's as a side note, but I think it helps us to understand better. If you are a note taker, I'm going to give you 5 words to write down in your notes. Ready? Number 1, seek. Seek. Number 2, trust. Number 1, seek. Number 2, trust. Number 3, search. You're like, but that's the same as seek. Well, you'll understand in a little bit. Search. Number 4, obey. Number 4, obey. And number 5, yield. Like the yield sign on the highway. Were any of you guys good at spelling in school, just as a quick survey? A couple of you. God bless you. I see you. I believe it. I absolutely believe it. I was terrible at spelling in school, and it hasn't gotten any better. It hasn't got, even spell checker. Like, sometimes I'm texting something and it's so bad, it's got nothing for me. No suggestions. Like, I just start typing, hoping it'll come up and be like, this is the word you want to put. And it's like, no idea what you're trying to type, man. And so I'm terrible at spelling. So, sorry, I started to spell them out loud. And I was like, no, I'll just say it wrong anyway. So you write it however you want to. Seek. I'm going to give you these 5 things I want to talk to you about tonight. These are practicalities because God wants us to grow in knowledge, but it's not just knowledge, and it's not knowledge about God, but to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to grow in knowledge. So how do we do that? Number 1, seek to know God. Seek to know God. Check this out. Jesus has a desire for you to know Him. You read that. this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus, when he's praying to the Father, that's one of the things he talks about is you want them to know you. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? That the God of heaven, who we would know he exists, like any reasonable person knows all this didn't come from just happenstance, okay? I was watching a video earlier, and it was talking about the mathematical impossibility of DNA creating itself. It's a pretty awesome video, but basically, there's not enough atoms in the known universe, like in our solar system, to have one chance to even make one or increase the information in one strand of DNA. Like, it's absolutely mathematically impossible. In other words, even an atheist who doesn't believe in the God of the Bible looks at the statistics, look at the mathematics, looks at the reality of the building blocks of life and says, there's no way unless something outside puts information in for information to create itself, right? So what I'm trying to say is you can look at creation and go, I know there's a God, there's something greater, there's something bigger, there's something higher, but God doesn't want you to just know that there's a creator. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know him, and he's revealed himself. So this is the desire. Jesus wants you to know him. Make it your desire. Jesus's desire is for you to know him. Make it your desire. So when I say seek, I mean seek to know God. Have a desire to know him. Put it in your heart. Purpose in your heart. Prepare your heart to know God. Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13. I know a lot of you know these verses, so check it out. Jeremiah 29, 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with, what's it say? All your heart. Now, let me give you a little caveat. This isn't directly about you. This is about Israel. This is about Israel turning away from God and God saying, listen, if you'll repent and turn back to me, then I'll meet you. You repent and turn back to me, and I'll hear you. You search for me with all your heart, and you will find me. So it's really about Israel primarily, but these principles apply to us today too, don't they? Is it not true that if you seek the Lord with all your heart, you'll find him? Isn't it true that he has good thoughts for you? Doesn't he want to work all things together for your good? Yeah, not only does he want to, he promises he'll do it. He'll work all things together for your good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I just want you to know, you ought to have a desire to seek him. Seek him with all your heart. Psalm 63, 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And man, the psalmist could say and write in the scriptures as absolute truth that they hungered and thirsted. David could say, I hunger and thirst for you. And would to God that you and I had a desire to know God like that. Would to God that we had a desire to know him. So seek to know God. This has to do with your heart, has to do with your desire. And listen, if you want to know God, you can. You guys agree with that? If you want to know God, you can. So that means that if I want to know God, I can. So it means if I'm not growing in knowledge, it's my fault, not his. So just get a desire. Hunger and thirst for him, and get that desire. Number two, trust. Trust in Jesus. Believe. Believe. Why is that so important? Well, Jesus is the truth. He's not a truth. He is the truth. We know that, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So get this. You cannot attain true knowledge apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. You can gain some information and you might know some things that are true, but you don't know truth until you know Jesus. So trust in Jesus. In John chapter 5 and verse 36, John 5, 36, Jesus says, but I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me, and the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent him, ye believe not. And I just want you to get this. John 5 gives us the key to some things that follow in chapter 6. Really important. the reason the Jews did not know Jesus is because they didn't believe him because they didn't believe the Father. And they didn't know God because they didn't believe the one he sent. In other words, you have to believe in the Father to know Jesus, and you have to believe in Jesus to know the Father. Why? Because they're one and the same. You can't know him without trusting in him. You have to have faith to know him. So let me see if this clears it up. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them of Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding in the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Okay, I'm reading fast. I'm trying to move fast because I'm afraid y'all are going to fall asleep if I don't hurry. Okay. Who is he talking about in verse 3? In whom? He's talking about Jesus Christ. And in Christ Jesus are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And what I'm trying to tell you is if you want to grow in knowledge, you're going to have to trust in Jesus. You're going to have to look to Jesus because you can't know truth apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you know him, then you have unlocked the door to knowing all wisdom and having all understanding. That's a pretty big deal, isn't it? I don't know if you're aware of this, but the world doesn't exactly look at Oklahoma as like the most intelligent people. You guys know that, right? And part of that's the media. You know, I mean, they don't always find the best representatives of our state, I don't think, when they do interviews sometimes. You guys know what I'm talking about? Listen, I don't want to be rude to any of my neighbors at all, so I'm trying to be careful what I say here. I'm just saying that they could probably pick somebody different to stick on TV every once in a while, right? Okay. All I'm trying to say is they don't always pick the cream of the crop when they want to stick somebody on TV and say, "This is Oklahoma for you, folks." Okay. But you know what? Some of the most backwoods, redneck, uneducated people that you could ever find around here are some of the wisest, godliest people that have ever lived on the planet. You know what I'm talking about? They may not have all that book learning from down there at the university, but they have the book. And they've been taught by the Spirit of God. And I'm just trying to tell you that there is wisdom and understanding and knowledge that surpasses anything that any university on this planet can put out, because it's somebody who knows Jesus. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you know him, then he is, in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and understanding and knowledge. So trust in him. Trust in him. I know some of you guys are pretty hard on yourself. You're like, "I didn't do so good in school," or "I didn't even finish school," or "I have trouble spelling," whatever. You're down, you're on yourself, but I'm telling you, there is no limit to how much wisdom God can give you, because it's in him, right? So don't ever doubt for a second. You're learning about growing in knowledge, and you're like, "Well, I'm not very smart. I have a learning disability," whatever. I'm just telling you that has nothing to do with what we're talking about right now. Because we're talking about being taught of God. Okay, so trust in him. Number 3, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. This is pretty cool. We just read, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And I want to tell you that truth is treasure. Truth is treasure. And treasure must be searched for. Right? Or you're never, like, it just, it's not, you got to look for it, right? I can't help but think about the diamond mine over in Arkansas, and I know some of you have done that. We did that one time this summer, and I'm telling you, it never fails. Like, every time I open my Facebook feed, somebody just found another 6-carat diamond. And we didn't find a speck, right? But there's some people who went out there, and there are people who have found dozens of diamonds, but they go there every day, week after week, month after month, year after year. How are they finding all these diamonds? Because they're looking for them. They're searching for them. They are digging for them as for hidden treasure. And I'm going to tell you that if you're lazy when it comes to studying the Word of God, you're not going to find much treasure. Like if you're just going to go through your day and never open your Bible, God will let you trip over some truth occasionally, but you're not going to find the hidden treasures of truth and wisdom and knowledge that He wants you to. He wants you to search for them, to dig for them, and to seek them out and to find them. And I'm going to tell you that if you have set your heart to seek to know God and you're trusting in Jesus and you open up your Bible to search for truth, He will show it to you. He'll give you truth. John chapter 5 and verse 39. We stopped at verse 38 while ago. Verse 39 goes on to say this. Jesus says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." If you want to know the truth, you have to know Jesus. And if you want to know Jesus, you have to get in the Word of God. You're going to have to read your Bible. You have to study your Bible. You're going to have to dig in. And I wonder if this has ever happened to you. You ever open up your Bible and you read a while and you just kind of look at the page and go, "I have no idea what I just read." Ever happened to you? Look around, people. You are not alone. And so I go, "I have no idea what I just read." So I read it again. You know what I do? I go, "Still don't know what I just read." Right? So what do? Keep reading? Keep reading? Find something you do understand, but keep reading. I'm going to tell you this. What God is doing is He is doing His work in you, and He does His work in His time. Listen, he's in no under no obligation to flip the light switch on for you just because you read your Bible one time. But I'm going to tell you, if you keep reading it, it's going to bless you. Okay? We ought to esteem His word more than our necessary food. That's what Job did. And I'm going to tell you this, every meal you've eaten in your life, you don't remember them all, do you? No? And some of them you're glad you don't remember. But I'm going to tell you this, every meal God's provided for you has given you nourishment. It's been good for you. Well, maybe not every meal. Altogether, the meals that you've eaten have kept you alive. How's that? Is that better? Okay. Well, you may not remember everything that you read. You may not even understand everything you read in the Bible, but I promise you God's going to nourish you through it. Okay? And He gives you understanding in time. So search the Scriptures. What are we searching for? To know Him. Who is truth? Jesus Christ is truth. Can we know truth apart from Jesus? No. How do we get to know Jesus? Search the Scriptures. Okay? So it all flows together, and I got to search the Scriptures. And you guys remember Acts 17:11? Who were they? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Who are these? Anybody remember? Bereans. That's right. We say it all the time. Be a Berean. What are we talking about? Be a Berean. Well, when he went to Berea and he preached the gospel there, he wrote about it. Luke says these were more noble than those who were in Thessalonica because those who were in Berea received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. How was it that they were more noble? They had a ready mind. They had prepared their hearts to seek Him, and they searched the Scripture every day to find out if what that preacher said was true or not. Be a good thing to do, by the way. You ought to search the Scriptures to see whether what I'm saying is true. And those of you who spend any time at all listening to other people preach on YouTube or TikTok or wherever you listen to sermons, you ought to search the Scriptures to see whether what they're saying is true or not. Amen. It's not all as obvious as that. I'm trying to choose my words carefully. There is a man who is running for office in Texas who is twisting, perverting, corrupting, and blaspheming the name of Jesus using the Bible. And it's disgusting. Okay? How do you say his name? Tallarico? James Tallarico. Tallarico, thank you. And I don't mind naming his name. He is twisting God's word, distorting God's word, and he sounds smart and looks good doing it. That sounds just like the devil. Okay? But listen to me. Listen to me. Not everybody's as obvious. Not everybody who's twisting the scriptures is so clear. Now, like, it's easy when they get up and say, God is non-binary. That's crazy. When you get up and try to say that God is trans and base it on the Hebrew language, you've lost your mind. Okay? That's easy. It ought to be easy. It ought to be easy. There shouldn't be any Bible-believing Christian on the planet who's deceived by that sickness. There shouldn't be, and there will be, and there are. But there are a lot more subtle false teachers out there. Okay? So what do? Listen with readiness of mind and search the scriptures to see whether those things are so. You ought to pray for Tallarico to be saved. You ought to pray for him. You ought to pray for his soul to be saved. Because I'm going to tell you, his message is demonic. Number four, obey. Obey. John 14, 21. This is crucial. John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Okay? Let's take that one more time. He that has my commandments, do you have his commandments? Where? This is the part where you hold your Bible up and wave it around. Okay. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Do you follow the trail? If you have the word of God, and you do, if you'll keep the word of God, that means obey it. It demonstrates your love to Jesus because we obey him because we love him. If you love me, keep my commandments. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? And so, if you have his word and you keep it, you're demonstrating that you love him, and we love him because he first loved us. And then it goes on, it shows his love for us, our love for him, and he will manifest himself to those who keep his word. You guys tracking that? That's so good. If you'll do what the Bible says, God's going to reveal himself to you. What does that mean? It means the more I obey what I know, the more he'll give me more to know. Oh, man, I love it. God reveals himself to those who obey. There's so many illustrations for this, but my favorite one's the SR-71 Blackbird. Just happens to be the coolest jet plane that's ever been built. It's got ramjet engines, and what that means is the faster it goes, the faster it goes. I don't. There's no other way to explain it to you. Brilliant design from ancient people in the mid-1900s. True story. Brilliant engineering. The faster it goes, the faster it goes, the faster it goes, the faster it goes. And it's just, they never tested it to its full limits. They couldn't. And so what I'm trying to tell you is, the more you know about God's word and obey it, the more he's going to give you. And when you know it and you don't obey it, he's not going to give you more. That makes sense to you though, right? If you're not already obeying what he's already shown you, why would he show you something else? It's a love and a kindness that he doesn't. You're disobedient here, so why would you be obedient there and there and there and there? So he's saving you from further judgment by saying, come on, come on, son. Do what you already know. But when you obey, he's going to reveal himself more. And get this, guys, do you see it? I will manifest myself to him. He's not just giving you more knowledge. He's revealing himself to you. You're going to know him more. Number five, yield. Yield. You guys all understand what a yield sign's for, right? Try to get ahead of the traffic. That's right. Every time I see the word yield, I think about the billboard that was there in Salisaw for a while. The yield sign was first tested in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You guys remember seeing that billboard? Okay. What's the yield sign? The whole point is that you're trying to let the others go first, right? You're yielding to somebody else. That's the idea. Well, what does it mean for us? Well, yielding in this sense of growing in knowledge means I'm going to yield to the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to die to self, and I'm going to yield to the Holy Spirit. Do you know what stops the flow of the Holy Spirit in your life? You do. Self. Self is the dam that stops the flow of the Holy Spirit in your life. And if you get yourself out of the way, then the Spirit of God can move freely in your heart and your mind and your life. You got to get yourself out of the way. You got to. If you want to grow in knowledge, you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to die to self, and you're going to have to be filled with the Spirit of God. Psalm 119, 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. What a prayer to pray when you open your Bible in the morning. God, open my eyes so that I can behold wondrous things out of your law. Show me, Lord, things out of your law. Teach me from your word. And then Colossians 1, 9 and 10 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And I'll just say this, if Paul thought it was important to pray for Christians to have knowledge, then maybe we should pray about it too. In John 14:26, Jesus said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. We need to yield to the Spirit of God through prayer and submission so that we can learn from him. Yield to the Spirit of God. Five things: seek, trust, search, obey, and yield. How do we grow in knowledge? I think if we do those things regularly, God's going to help us grow in knowledge. Do you want to know him more? Really? Yeah. Or you're not just satisfied, like, I know enough about him, I'm good? I'm afraid not many of us would actually verbalize that and be like, you know what, I'm pretty satisfied. You know, I understand this gospel, like I know salvation, and I'm pretty good. Like, I know a little bit about him. I've been studying the Bible for a while. I'm pretty satisfied with my knowledge of Jesus. I don't know that any of us would say that out loud, but I'm going to tell you this. We live it that way. We act like we're satisfied. We don't act like we're hungering and thirsting after knowing him. We're not acting like we want him to make himself known to us more. And I'm just going to tell you, I pray God puts a burning desire in my heart and yours to want to know him the way that he wants us to know him. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity together. I pray your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, that you would help us to have a desire. Lord, just give us a hungering and a thirsting for righteousness and for knowing you. Make yourself known to us. I pray, Lord, that you would just give us that desire. Help us to trust in you with all our hearts. Help us to search the scriptures so that we can know you. And help us to obey what you reveal to us. Help us by your grace and by your Spirit to be obedient to the things that you make known to us. And Lord, I pray that we'll be yielded to you, dying to self and filled with your Spirit day by day. Help us to walk in your Spirit. Forgive us and help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for your time and attention. Is there any last words before we go tonight?